Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Pastor Dave. How are you?
I'm fine, but how are you?
What do you mean?
Have you decided to join the alto group in the choir at church?
Well, I was an alto in choir, yeah.
It sounds like you're in it today.
Are you making fun of my voice or something?
No, not making fun, just acknowledging that you are super deep. Maybe you're trying to be a bass. Do you got a cold today or something?
I have something. It's allergies or I'm not sure what, but...
Because usually your voice is many pitches higher than that.
Oh, you mean you want me to like, go like this?
Oh, okay, Minnie. Regardless, we're going to have fun, we're going to study God's Word, and whether she's sick or allergies or whatever, we're here and we are glad of it, because no matter how you are, God's Word is for you.
That is true.
We begin today with Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Some of these words may actually sound familiar. Like, hey, didn't we just read this? Well, yes, but no. These actually are similar to chapter 9, but they are different. We'll read and you'll see, and then we'll talk about it.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will be returned to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick there. And tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure, the kingdom of God is near."
I want to think that Jesus was sending these 70 disciples out right around harvest time. And he maybe even pointed out to the fields as they were harvesting and he said, "I'm sending you out, but pray to the master of the harvest to send workers into his field." And he was using that as an example. And it's really amazing to me. Here Jesus is sending them out, but he's saying, "Pray for more workers." I bet that both of those caught the disciples by surprise. It's something we need to always be doing as well, praying for workers in the harvest. How about you, Cecilia? Anything that caught you in these passages?
Yeah. I don't understand. Why did he tell the disciples, "Don't greet anyone on the road"? I mean, when I'm walking down the street or When I meet someone in a store, I don't always greet them, but often I'll say, good afternoon, good evening, how are you doing?
Yeah, I think here what Jesus is trying to say is not that greeting like that, that's just being friendly, but he was sending them out to be missionaries, to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And if they would have stopped at every person on the road and said that, they might be talking all afternoon. Jesus is coming real soon. Oh, he is? I've heard about him. Yeah, well, let me tell you about him. And they would be there and maybe spend overnight. And they wouldn't get back to, or they wouldn't, these disciples wouldn't get to the village that Jesus assigned them to go to. Wouldn't surprise me, in fact, if Jesus said, okay, on Tuesday I'm going to be in this village, Wednesday in this village, Thursday this village. And so they needed to be these places so that Jesus could be there.
Almost like the advance team.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be really easy for them to get caught up in conversations. He didn't want that. And I think that's really what he's trying to say here.
Okay. Then it really seems like Jesus is just telling his disciples the exact same thing that he told them in chapter 9. Why repeat this passage?
Much of it is. Well, these are new disciples, or additional disciples, I should say. And I think he was helping the apostles train them. And so he repeated it. And these are important things for us to remember, too. Especially, the one that caught my mind was when you go to one house, you know, don't go to another one. It'd be so easy. Oh, okay, I'm here for the week, and I'll stay at your house. And, oh, Joe Schmo, I'm sorry, Joe Schmo just asked me to go to his house, and so I'm going to go there tonight instead of at your place. How would that make people feel?
You know? The disciples were trying to pick the best.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why Jesus was saying it's not about picking the best, but serving and bringing the kingdom of heaven. Which, by the way, is...
Speaking of the kingdom of heaven,
yeah,
I had another question.
Hmm?
You and I had a little bit of a difference in opinion as to how to interpret something. You or I was saying...
Well, let me just add one thing here. Mm-hmm. The disciples, Jesus said, when you heal people, tell them the kingdom of heaven is near. He wanted those words to be with the healing so that it wasn't just a demonstration of power. And then if they didn't accept him, other people didn't, shake the dust off your feet and then say the kingdom of heaven is near.
Yeah.
Twice he says that. And it's on the second one. Now go on.
Well, when he says, shake the dust from your feet, I wanted to say, the kingdom of heaven is near. You said, no. Say it, the kingdom of heaven is near.
In simple language, one way is what and one way is what?
One way is law.
Command, you're judged.
One way is gospel. It's a promise.
Yeah. And I think this is something that Jesus is always trying to let people know. As long as you have breath, God wants. No. God is reaching to you, and then he wants you to be embraced by him and his love. And that's his kingdom. Jesus, having just spoken to the disciples about towns that may not accept him, dust off the feet, well, he stops and pauses and talks more about towns that will reject him in the following verses. We read from Luke 10, verses 12 through 16.
I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me.
Boy, Jesus must have been really frustrated.
And how?
When people rejected him and his representatives. Oh, I mean, he was doing miracles and healings, preaching the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. And these people didn't want to understand the Savior was right in front of them. I mean, we've got towns like Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum where he had walked, where the apostles came from.
And he compared all that was done there to that if it would have been done in a different place, boy, would they have believed, that place of sin. Probably the most sinful place.
Any Jew would remember the name Sodom.
Hey, with the power of digital, let's turn back the page and go to lesson 86 and read about Sodom. The story picks up with Genesis chapter 19.
The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they said, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we might have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them, and shut the door behind him, and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When Lot hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plains. flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
This summer has been a real wet one here in St. Louis, and there was a joke that came up again. And you maybe have heard it before, Cecilia, I don't know, but I heard it just a little bit ago and chuckled again because it is so poignant. This guy heard the news that a flood was coming and mm-hmm. everyone should evacuate. And he goes, I'm just fine. I'm not going to have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And the waters came and cut off all the roads. And then it started coming in his house. He goes, So he moved to the second floor. And then he started praying, God, I think you better help me here now.
Mm-hmm.
And the water kept rising to the second floor. So he got up on the roof, and a boat came by. Come on. And the man said, no, I can't go. I'm waiting for God. And then a helicopter came by, and no, I can't go with you. I'm waiting for God. And then the man finally was swept off in the flood, and he drowned.
Mm.
And when he got to heaven, he said, God, why didn't you answer me? I wanted to be rescued. And God said to him, I sent you a broadcast to get out of there. I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. What else did you want?
Yes.
And sometimes we only see what we want, and we can't see anything else. And it kind of reminds me of what's going on here with both the story of Lot. God sent messengers to Sodom to repent. Lot was there mm-hmm. to talk to them. Then sent angels. And they didn't. They wanted to abuse them.
Mm-hmm.
So it is with what Jesus said in the gospel reading. He who listens to you listens to me.
He rejects you, rejects me.
I think this all tells us we better stop and double check if God's trying to talk to us, trying to reach us, and trying to answer our prayer, even though it's maybe not the way we really wanted it to be.
I would never turn away from Christ like that. I would never be like those people in Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum. I would never reject Jesus Christ.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm quite sure.
You're sure you're sure?
I'm very sure I'm sure.
Have you lied in the last week?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Any bad language?
Well...
Did you get angry and say things maybe against your housemates in the last week? Did you procrastinate when you knew you had to do something? All those fit into the Ten Commandments, and the Lord did say, keep these. And whenever we do not keep the Ten Commandments, we really are rejecting Him.
Because we're turning away from... What God wants us to do.
Yeah. Fortunately, though, that's why we keep coming back to God. Jesus is a God of mercy and kindness and accepts us not because of who we are, but because of who He's declared us to be, His children. And we live that way in order to thank Him. It still makes him sad when we do those things. And we do, in a sense, reject him. That's why we always go to him and repent and try to do better.
Forgiveness.
Jesus had sent out the disciples, 72 of them, to go as kind of an advance guard to prepare the villages. Now we continue with the reading shortly following that occurrence. We're reading verses 17 through 20 of chapter 10.
The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing can harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." "I have given you power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." But, okay, I have two questions.
Yeah.
First, is this trampling on snakes and scorpions literal?
Well, probably not necessarily. It's more of a, snakes and scorpions are the things that can really kill you and harm you, especially if you step on them in a surprise and you're like, "Bah!"
So I've heard, yeah.
And so Jesus is trying to say, you have protection. Okay. Although we do know of one spot where Paul was bit by a snake and he just tossed it off. That's an axe.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some literal, but I think this is more figuratively.
Okay, then it says, "Nothing will harm you."
Mm-hmm.
But there have been people who have been killed while being witnesses of Christ.
There's a difference between hurt and harm.
Is there?
Yeah. Harm, Jesus is talking about spiritually. And that's a real danger. If we're doing battle with demons in the dark world, are we going to survive that battle? And Jesus is saying, absolutely you will, because I've won the battle. I'm the one who did it. And that's why you can rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You're just the mop-up cleanup job, guys. And so the harm is meaning the spiritual. Yeah, they can lop off your head. That's hurt. But they can't take away your soul from God. Jesus follows these words to the disciples with a prayer to the Heavenly Father.
At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I'd like to go back just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was when Jesus is healing the boy with the evil spirit in Luke 9, verse 41.
Okay.
The father has just said, "We begged your disciples to cast out this evil spirit, but they could not."
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" You remember I asked about Jesus and his being frustrated with the disciples back then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now then, in verse 10, or chapter 10, he's saying, "I praise you, Father, for you've chosen to reveal these things to, not to the wise and learned, but to little children."
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't know if this is at the same time.
No, there's a whole bunch of time in between, maybe 30 days, but even so, go on.
Okay. Is he frustrated with them, or is he proud of them, or is he both?
Yes, he's both. Earlier on, he was very frustrated, but now, because they're coming back and they're getting it, that in the name of Jesus, it's because of Jesus that things are happening. They're understanding that he is the Messiah. They don't quite get what the Messiah is.
They don't get what the Messiah is, and yet they're Jewish, and they've...
Well, they thought it was an earthly king, where Jesus is a spiritual king, and it has a bigger realm and ramification. It deals with eternity. But he is happy and rejoicing, because if this would have been put in the hands of the wise, they would have mucked that up as well. Remember, they got the Ten Commandments, and they mucked that up
yes,
by adding another 616 around it to protect it. And so the idea is here, give it to those who don't seem to be smart so that everybody can realize this ain't of them.
The simple.
It's of God.
Give it to the simple.
Yeah.
Give it to the simple. Maybe like us?
You and me. Well, Cecilia, I got to say, I'm glad your voice held up for all that reading. It seemed to come and go and such.
Sorry.
And yeah, no, you're okay. You're okay. But let's let you just sit there and rest. I'll try to wrap it up. Let's see if I get it right. You tell me. So, please, do write us, you out there, because the message has gone to you as well. We are people of faith. Though we be simple and not wise and learned, yet we are gifted by God with his mercy. So write us at not-alone. Oh, I think she's telling me I'm doing it wrong. Write us at info, I-N-F-O, at not-alone, N-O-T-A-L-O-N-E dot N-E-T. Did I get it right, Cecilia?
You did.
Okay. And remember, we
are not alone.
I will lead you who are blind by the ways you have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide you. I will turn the darkness into light before you and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake you. Do come back again to room 4216.
Credits. Our sincere thanks go to Terry Nord and Robert Vaughn for their interlude music.
And now, a few gaffes from past episodes.
Hi, everyone. It's Pastor Dave. I goofed again.
Yes, you did. It's the third time.
Segment I don't remember for the life of me.
Very nice.